Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on saturating an old-school DNB drop using macro controls, creatively. In this one, we're not just making a loop, we're building a drop system that can move from restrained to absolutely savage with a few smart macro moves. That's the whole vibe of old-school drum and bass. The groove stays locked, but the texture, weight, and attitude keep evolving. So the goal here is to make a compact performance rack that lets you control the bass, the break, and the energy of the whole drop from one place. We're going to use stock Ableton devices only, and we're going to lean hard into sampling, resampling, and macro mapping so the result feels like a finished record, not just a sketch. First, let's think about the source material. You want two main ingredients, a classic breakbeat and a bass idea. The break could be something Amen style, Think style, or any dusty chopped loop with good snare detail and hat movement. The bass can be a reese, a simple synth bass line, or even a resampled phrase from another project. If your break is already gritty and musical, perfect. Don't overclean it. Old-school DNB actually benefits from a little rawness, a little human timing, a little unevenness. If the break is too tidy, drop it into simpler or drum rack and chop it into slices so you can work the groove more actively. For the bass, try to start with something that moves over one or two bars. That movement matters, because we're going to enhance and reshape it with saturation and filters later. If it's a MIDI part, freeze and flatten it, or resample it to audio. That gives you more control in a sampling-based workflow, and honestly, that's where the magic starts to happen. Now let's build the drum side. Take the break into simpler and slice mode, or load it into drum rack and map the main hits across pads. Focus on the core pieces first. Kick, snare, hats, ghost notes, and maybe one or two shuffled slices for movement. You're not trying to make it pristine. You're trying to make it hit. On the drum chain, start with EQ8 to clean out unnecessary sub-rumble. Then add drum bus for punch and grit. A little drive, a little transient emphasis, maybe a touch of crunch, but don't go too far yet. Add compressor for gentle glue, and use utility if you need to keep the width under control. That's an important point here. Old-school DNB loves energy, but the snare still needs space to land. If the break gets too wide or too dense in the wrong part of the spectrum, the whole drop loses its snap. So keep the drums alive, but don't smear them. If the groove feels stiff, use the groove pool. A little swing can make a huge difference. Jungle and old-school drum and bass often feel best when they have just enough push and pull to sound human. Now let's build the bass. A really practical approach is to split it into two layers. One clean sublayer, and one mid-layer with the character. The sub can come from operator or wavetable using a sine or something equally simple. Keep it mono. That part is non-negotiable. Use utility if you need to lock it dead center. For the mid-layer, use wavetable or a resampled audio clip in simpler. This is where the reese movement, the harmonics, and the grit live. Add saturator or overdrive, then auto-filter so you can keep it darker in the intro and open it up in the drop. A good starting point is a moderate amount of drive on the mid-layer, then a filter range that begins fairly closed and opens into the useful presence zone. The key is to map your macro ranges intentionally. Don't let a knob travel into useless harshness just because the full range is available. In DNB, tiny moves often sound more pro than giant sweeps. Now for one of the most important parts of this lesson, resampling. Once your bass movement sounds good, print it. Resample it to audio. That might feel like an extra step, but in this style of music it's huge. When you commit the bass to audio, the harmonics settle in a more consistent way, the groove becomes more solid, and you get something you can shape like sample material instead of endlessly tweaking synth settings. After resampling, trim the clip tightly. Warp it only if you need to. Then you can slice it, loop it, or even turn it back into simpler for more manipulation. Add EQ8 if you need to tame harshness, and use saturator for density rather than just brute force clipping. This is one of those moves that separates a decent bass idea from a proper DNB weapon. If a resampled version feels right, print it. Don't overthink it. Use the good state as a building block. Now let's turn the whole thing into a performance rack. Group the drum and bass elements if that helps. Then add your processing after the group. Think EQ8, saturator, compressor, auto filter, utility, and maybe return effects like echo or reverb for throws. Here's a strong macro mindset for this kind of rack. One macro can control bass heat. That might increase drive on the mid-bass and bring in a little extra harmonic presence around the mid-range. Another macro can control sub-focus. That one should mostly adjust sub-level and maybe tuck the mid-layer slightly when the sub is being emphasized. Another macro can be break grit. That can add drive or crunch to the break or pushed the drum bus a little harder, then you might have filter lift, which opens the bass and break in a controlled way. Width risk is a good name for a macro that opens up the mids and upper percussion, but again, never let it widen the sub. Snare crack can add transient energy or a small EQ lift in the zones where the snare needs to speak. Throw send can increase the send to echo or reverb for quick fills. And drop tension can do the opposite. Close the filters, narrow the mids, and pull energy back before a phrase lands. The big teaching point here is that each macro should have a clear musical job. Don't map random stuff just because you can. A good macro is like a performance gesture. It should feel intentional. For example, a momentary push macro is really effective. That could briefly increase drive, open a filter a bit, and add a throw send, then return to normal. That creates fill-like excitement without needing new clips. Now we arrange the drop. Think in 16 or 32 bars. A classic structure might go like this. The first phrase is more restrained, the next one opens up, then you hit a switch up, and the final phrase goes hardest. So maybe bars 1 to 8 are the first statement. It's already strong, but it's still controlled. Bars 9 to 16 open the mids a bit more and add some drive. Bars 17 to 24 can introduce a different slice pattern, a fill, or a little more grit. Then bars 25 to 32 are your payoff, fullest saturation, most energy, maybe one stop-start moment before the release. When you automate, don't overdo it. A 2 dB drive lift can beat enough. A slight filter open can feel massive in context. In this style, the most powerful changes are often subtle. The listener should feel the energy rising, not necessarily notice the exact parameter move. A really good old-school DNB trick is to let the bass feel cleaner early on, then gradually let more damage come in later. That makes the drop feel like it's escalating under pressure. It's way more musical than starting at maximum intensity and leaving nowhere to go. Also, use clip envelopes for detail. This is where you can make the groove breathe. On the break, bring ghost notes in and out with velocity. Reverse a slice here and there for a fill. Nudge some hat hits down a couple of dB so the rhythm has space to breathe. On the bass, slightly open the filter on the last beat of a phrase or pull the bass out for half a bar before a snare hit. That kind of contrast makes the return hit harder. And always check the rack in context. A bass chain that sounds huge on solo might fight the break once the drums are back in. Keep toggling between the drum group and bass group, so you can hear whether the snare still has a clean landing zone. Mix discipline is everything here. Keep the sub mono. Keep the low end stable and predictable. Use saturation mainly on the mid bass and the break. If the snare disappears, reduce some of the mid-range harmonics around the zones where the bass and snare are clashing. And try to leave the master with some headroom while you're building the drop. If the low end is getting wide, that's usually a sign to pull back. Heavy DNB should feel huge because it's controlled, not because everything is spread everywhere. A good extra move is parallel dirt. Duplicate the bass, distort the copy hard, and blend it underneath quietly. That can give you a broken speaker style edge without ruining the clean core of the sound. And if that combination sounds perfect, print it. Resampling is a decision tool. If it works, commit it. For a quick practice version, build a micro drop with one chopped break, one simple bass phrase, and just three macros: bass heat, filter lift, and break grit. Program four bars so the first bar is restrained, the second is more open, the third adds grit, and the fourth hits hardest with a little fill. Then resample the bass once and swap one MIDI layer for audio. Finally, check mono and make sure the snare still cuts through. That's the whole philosophy in a nutshell. We're taking a sampled old-school DNB drop and turning it into a performable system. We're not just making it louder, we're making it evolve. We're using macros to shape saturation, filter motion, width, and throws in a way that feels musical and intentional. Keep the sub mono, saturate the mid-bass and break with purpose. Resample when you find a winning sound. Automate in phrases, not random movement, and always protect the snare. If you get that balance right, you'll end up with a drop that feels old school, heavy, and live. Tight enough for the mix, gritty enough for the dancefloor, floor, and flexible enough to keep evolving across the arrangement. Alright, let's get into it and build that rack.